News dump. News dump, news dump, news dump. April 30th, 2021. Mac, you look so properly lit right now.
Thank you very much, Goon. Thank you for noticing. The other day, Wednesday, hump day, in fact.
Hump day, Amazon, am I right?
Hump day.
Amazon had a few deals of the day on some lighting things. And I needed like one more light in here. So a little peek behind the curtains here on the Mac program.
My stuff.
I have like an overhead bar light here over the desk that lights pretty well. But the issue is I have the mic that provides a shade. So I have to have a secondary light over here to the right. And this light is like a desk lamp. That's also a charger, which is nice. It's useful. But I needed a light over here to kind of round out the whole arch of lighting.
You know what
here.
That's called, right?
I didn't know until you said it the other day.
Three point lighting. Yeah.
Yes. So now I have 3 point lighting. In fact, I have a fourth point. It's unused. Maybe I'll put kind of shine it in my cock area. I'm not really sure yet. I'll figure that out later. But I got him $25. These two little, they're about a foot tall, maybe 14 inches tall, little lamps that you put anywhere. The USB too. So they're nice. Nice little LED lights. So I'm real lit here. I might not be good at podcasting, but at least I look like I'm good at it.
May I recommend you do some research on how to use those gels?
Gels?
Yeah. The little screens that you put in front of the lights. You got some gels too.
I'm not going to use those at all.
It'll make you look better.
Okay.
Mac, right. I went to art school. Are you questioning me?
Well, I have a green screen. So can you use the green screen and the gels?
The green screen has nothing to do with it.
No, I know. But in order for the green screen to look its best, you got to have as much light shining on it. So if I put the gels, it's going to change the type of light that's shining on the green screen.
You can use both. Yes. And this is coming from someone who got a C in lighting class because I refused to take the lights home with me. At the time, my license was suspended, so I wasn't going to carry a big box of lights home on the bus with me from school.
Now, why was your license suspended?
7 moving violations.
I'll say this. You're not a good driver. I never thought you were a bad driver, but 7 moving violations might say you're a bad driver.
And actually, it's after 6 that you have the suspension, so the 7th one put me on double secret probation.
Well, it's like when you have your permit, right? You can only drive from like 8 to 6 or 6
point
to 6.
Point A to point B.
Like yeah.
News dump. Mac, this just in, hot off the presses. Paddington 2 is the greatest movie of all time.
I've not seen Paddington. I have not seen Paddington 2. If they make 15 Paddingtons, I will not be seeing any of them. Don't care about Paddington, nor
he
should
I. He wears a rain slick. He loves himself some marmalade. And the movie that Grill it was tied with...
Marmalade.
The movie that it was tied with was Citizen Kane, but I guess they found an old review that was negative towards the movie, so now that's a 99. It's shit.
And if you actually go ahead and read that review like I did, brag, it's really not negative. It's just less kind than the 100% reviews. And this is my issue with Rotten Tomatoes. A lot of times, if you go and click on the reviews that they consider rotten, a lot of them are pretty good. They're just not, they don't call it like the best movie. So I don't know who they hire, who does the job of deciding what's rotten and what's not. Because sometimes you read these rotten reviews and you're like, oh, they think this is a good movie. They're just not calling it great.
Because I thought at first, maybe someone was getting ready to see Mank and they hadn't seen Citizen Kane yet. And they watch and they're like, oh, I don't like Citizen Kane and I'm a top reviewer. I haven't seen Citizen Kane, but I'm a top
No,
film reviewer.
I don't think Rotten Tomatoes, and I could be wrong, I don't think they accept like 2020 reviews for 1990 movies and whatnot. You know what I mean? Like, I think they try to pull current reviews. And by current, I mean time of the release.
Mm-hmm. News dump. Ty Boys. Mac, we got the release of some Falcon and Winter Soldier merch.
Skip the topic.
Well, I'll do that next then. Might be. So we got some of the merch that is coming out for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. You actually already bought one, and we'll discuss that in 1 second. But first off, we have the Marvel Select stuff, and I probably should have brought some photos, but this is an audio podcast, so I don't care. Marvel Select has an issue with faces, and you're dealing with two characters that are showing their faces, so don't bother with these.
Yeah, these are the figures. Maybe you don't realize you know them by name, but these are the figures that Marvel does, the line of figures where you usually got to buy 6 or 7 characters to build an additional character. And so you get like a leg of the character you build in like each box or an arm or whatever.
Yeah.
And those are, I think, are $20 a pop.
$20 or $25.
I think it's 20.
Either way,
but for $20, you know, you don't need to expect much. But to Goose point, the details like on the faces, like the little paint, aren't great. And for $10 more, you get the Diamond Select, which is what I bought of Sam Wilson Cap, and it's like significantly better for $10 more. So I can't really endorse the Marvel Select. There are some good stuff. Like if they're wearing a mask, the figures usually
they can usually get away with it. If it's a Spider-Man, a Deadpool, something like that. And even when it comes to like the Diamond Select stuff, because Sam is wearing the goggles, they can hide a lot of his face because the Bucky Barnes one is not great. And even when you get to like the Hot Toys, which, you know, this is in the stratosphere of money here, but the Bucky Barnes is $250. And although it is the best looking of the Bucky Barnes Winter Soldier stuff, still doesn't look great.
And that's the thing with Bucky / Winter Soldier here is like, that's all he's got now, right? He doesn't have a costume other than just the arm. So you're just having a statue of a regular dude, which is less than inspiring.
I mean, I think the most accurate Bucky Barnes Sebastian Stan toy is Mr. Potato Head. The man looks like a potato.
I guess the way I would describe Goo, Marvel Select up to Diamond Select. Marvel Select is good for kids if they're going to play with the toys. You don't care so much about the looks, and they articulate pretty
Diamond
well.
Diamond Select is for adults that are going to play with the toys.
Yes, Diamond Select are for the ones that are going to show their friends them and then play with the toys.
Exactly. And then once again, let's get back to the Hot Toys here. And the Captain America one, the Captain America Falcon, Sam Wilson, Anthony Mackie one, looks amazing. It looks so good, but $350.
Yeah. Yeah, and the way they have them posed looks really great, too. And this is my whole thing. I was talking with you guys about this the other day. For whatever reason, I love characters with wings. Archangel, you know, really anything like that. And we haven't got a good winged character in forever, at least toys-wise. So the minute I saw that Diamond Select Sam Wilson, I bought it. It's going to look awesome. It'll be added to my desk of protectors here. It's just cool. It's cool to pretend fly toys, even at age 32. I'll be 32 in 2 weeks, and I'm going to enjoy pretend flying with Sam Wilson.
And then, of course, the pops look good. They have some good-looking pops with this.
Yeah, the pops are pretty good. Again, the winged or the – I think there's three Sam Wilson ones, two with wings, one without. One of them has the wings kind of tucked in. The other one has them spread.
Yeah.
I haven't figured out which one I want to get.
I know that you're a big spread eagle guy, right?
Huge spread eagle guy. That's sort of my thing, yeah.
News dump. Missionary. Speaking of that show, Wyatt Russell is disappointed or was disappointed by the U.S. agent suit, even though it is completely comic accurate.
Yeah, so number one, comic accurate. So credit, we can pay credit to the Falcon and the Winter Soldier for that. Number two, the U.S. agent is, how do I say this, is sort of supposed to be, not hidden, hidden isn't the word, right? But he's into some espionage, some Black Widow type shit. So you don't want this like bright green suit.
Well,
black
he said,
plays, black always plays.
He said, and I quote, I was expecting an Elton John style fluffy hat and boa, and they gave me this black and red suit.
I mean, I think we can agree that the U.S. agent suit doesn't do anything for anyone, but it's
really
not supposed
to. I would imagine that when they made the suit in the comics, they just took a stencil of Captain America and just put a different design on it and different colors on it.
Right. You know what? I think the best Captain America suits were the ones that were pretty subdued as well.
Yeah.
Where he was more espionage spy type. And that's what this U.S. agent suit, you know, sort of gives you an idea of. So I think he just doesn't really understand the character. And that might be true, right? Like maybe Wyatt Russell doesn't know anything.
Well,
about
Wyatt Russell has also said that he doesn't know if he's coming back. But I would assume, and I know nothing, that when you sign on with Marvel to do a property, you're signing on for at least three things.
Maybe, but I could also see them because the show is new territory, uncharted waters for them, that they're only signing them for the show. And then if they're received well, they'll re-up for a movie.
I don't think so, because even when they first started
but
doing
they did that with Spellman, right? Because they didn't announce he was getting the movies.
No, I think they always knew that. They always knew that, and then they
didn't announce
it,
though. They didn't announce it until the show was done.
No, but I think that what they do, and this is a lot like signing a rookie to arbitration, or you know, just trying to have someone on like a rookie contract, because they had Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth on really cheap contracts for like three or four movies, and now that Chris Hemsworth is into that secondary contract, he's getting more money.
Yeah, but that's also 8 years ago, right? Like everything changed. Everything changed once we got to phase three. Everything was different because everything was good at that point and we were building towards something great. So now that we're in phase four And we kind of talk about this in our Falcon Winter Soldier episode. We kind of harken back to phase one. We're at the beginning again. So if you were thinking about it, if they had seen the cut of Falcon Winter Soldier and they liked Wyatt Russell, you ink him before everything goes public. But that said, I think there's a lot of people, and you know, I could be wrong, but I think there's a lot of people that didn't really like his character. And so maybe that's something they're weighing right now.
I thought they did a very good job of taking their time for the heel turn, but then once he was there, it was too quick to go back for redemption.
Yeah, he turned to bad guy, and then he was good guy immediately again. Yeah. And that was my point about him. I thought he played a really good bad guy, super punchable. Like, he's someone we don't want to like. I think Davey actually tweeted this out last night. One of the writers from the show, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, stated that they thought they did a really good job making people root for Wyatt Russell. And that couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this series and these writers just haven't seen the internet, don't have the internet. Like, I don't, because that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, maybe not liking Russell was too strong, what I said a couple minutes ago. No one was rooting for Wyatt Russell.
No, and by the end of the show, I was indifferent on Wyatt Russell.
And that's sort of the problem with the end of the show, is we weren't rooting for Russell. We weren't rooting for the Flag Smashers. We were barely rooting for our heroes. For the audience, there was nothing to root for at the end other than getting Sam Wilson Captain America.
And for the show to end. News dump. Invincible has been picked up for seasons 2 and 3. That's good. I have not seen the season finale yet. No one tell me what happened, and we are going to review the show next week, but this is exciting.
I, too, have not yet watched the finale. I'll get to it at some point today. I'm prepared, as I always am, Goo, to be let down a little. I don't know if we talked about it last week, but I was wondering if this season one story was going to be kind of bookend, right? You know, what we had, it's over with. But that's probably not going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So we'll be a bit of a cliffhanger at the end of season one here. And I hope it's great. Wesley, formerly of the Boxers podcast, said it was awesome. And I am sort of expecting that. But in the back of my mind now, and this is always me, glass half empty. Thank you, Last Jedi. I'm always ready to be let down, right? As Michael Scott says, I'm prepared to be hurt again, or whatever the fuck the quote is. But this is awesome because whatever they set the seed, plant the seeds for at the end of season one, they now have full license to go ahead and full throttle in seasons 2 and 3.
News dump. DC Fandom is back October 16th, 2021. And Mac, may I say this, is that Fandom 1 might be the best thing that the DCEU has done yet.
We agreed for sure. Maybe the whole internet agreed last year that DC Fandom was awesome.
It was great.
They teased a lot of things. And a lot of what they teased were like, yeah, we know we kind of fucked up in the past, so we're going to do all this shit in the future.
Yeah. I had such a great time following all the trailers, the art, the video games, the shows. They did a great job of pacing out the day and everything. News dump. Mad Men actor Vincent Carcinogens. He played that little weasel Pete. He is set to join Titans in season 3 as Scarecrow. And I like this casting. And moreover, I love the Scarecrow. I love Jonathan Crane. And whenever a show or a movie adds him in there, I'm going to watch.
Yeah, I was trucking along Titans. I think I was about a third of the way through season 2. And I just full on stopped. It's fucking terrible. You like the characters and you like sort of the promise that where it's leading. I will say what they have teased for season 3 looks kind of cool. You know, Red Hood's involved and shit. But I don't even like the guy that plays Red Hood. And Titans is a good example of idea is better than the execution. I guess maybe Marvel's sort of getting into that territory now with shows. And maybe this is like when you start to build the universe bigger and bigger, naturally things aren't going to hit as much. And so there are a couple characters in Titans that are good. But on the whole, it's fucking terrible. I think season 3 is going to be a lot of this. A lot of shit that people will like, comic book readers will like. Because it's there, but what they actually give you won't be good.
News dump. Ewan McGregor says that Obi-Wan is going to be, it's going to feel more real than the prequels, that is. And it's because of the different filming techniques. And I'm assuming this is a lot like The Mandalorian with the big old screens in the back.
I don't really know what this means because
he's obviously not working with tennis balls. That's what it means.
Right. But obviously, a lot of what's going to happen in this series is CG, and the whole entire prequels was CG. So it's what his statement is actually kind of stupid.
Well, no. If he could have just said, all it is it's going to look like The Mandalorian. That's what it means.
Sure. Like, if he could have just said, though, like, technology's advanced, so what we tried to do 20 years ago is now actually going to work. Because that's really what he's saying.
All of the prequels was filmed in front of green screens. Tennis balls.
Right.
He deserves so much credit for acting off of no one. And you could argue that the tennis ball in Hayden Christensen, it's the exact same thing. But... this show.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there's still going to be a lot of that in this series.
No, it is completely different now. Go and watch a making of The Mandalorian and how they shoot The Mandalorian. It's completely different now.
Yeah, but just because there's sand,
no,
it's not completely different.
There isn't even sand. It's how they shoot with different screens.
Oh, blue screens.
No,
green
it
screen.
Isn't blue gotcha. Screens. It's
gotcha.
No, it's like this giant... television, like a giant 360 television that's behind you that covers...
Where they project the world.
Pretty much.
I got you. Yeah. I got you. But that's the same thing as shooting in front of a green screen.
No, but you can see what's happening.
Yeah, but wouldn't you argue the good actors, that shouldn't affect them?
It didn't affect him that much in the prequels. He was still pretty good.
That's true. He was good. He was good. That's true.
It affected the bad actors pretty poorly.
But why does he care so much then? Is he trying to sell us on this show?
He's trying to tease the fans.
But if you... This statement didn't change anyone's mind on whether or not they're going to watch the show.
I wasn't going to watch it at first, but now that he's telling me it's going to look good, I'm going to watch it.
Oh, did he say techniques? Fuck, I'm in.
News dump. This headline says, I watched Ted Lasso, and this is for Mac, because Mac has finally watched Ted Lasso.
Yeah, me, Mac, I watched Ted Lasso. And I'll tell you what, it was a fucking goddamn delight.
Absolutely.
I'll be honest with you. Through like three episodes, I was like, man, this really isn't that funny. Like, it's a comedy. It's supposed to be really funny.
It's charming, though.
Well, what happened was the middle of the season there, they really hit their stride. And you really like all of the characters. And it's funny enough as a comedy, right? It does enough funny things. But what you really fall in love with is the drama and the romance of the show. Above all, which no one told me that.
It's a good layer.
I really loved that aspect.
Yeah, it's a nice layer
of the
show.
I thought I was getting into like, an office type of comedy. And it's not that at all. It's a really well-made show. Every character on the show, you have a visceral reaction towards, right? You either love them or you hate them. And that's a great thing for any sort of property. And I'll tell you what, Juno Temple is new crush.
If you listen back to our smorgasbord from 2 or 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, time is just an empty space, Mac. But if you listen back to that, I said to you in the episode that you're going to love her.
I really do love her. She's great. She's the best character on the show.
And then also, so we might talk about this in 2 weeks because we're going to do a Mortal Kombat episode, but that's not going to take the full episode. It's going to be Mortal Kombat, Nobody, and we'll do season one of Ted Lasso because season two is coming out very soon.
Did you like my cast list of Mortal Kombat that I made yesterday?
No. Oh, the list of who's in the movie, like the character names?
Hat guy.
Yeah, those are all the same. And I played Mortal Kombat as a kid, and you obviously know Scorpion, Sub-Zero. You know Raiden,
Scorpion,
too.
Sub-Zero, Raiden,
yeah.
Shao Kahn, and then everyone else is Fire Fist, Hat Guy.
Hat Guy. I have always known him as Hat Guy. And once again, Hat Guy, everyone is so big on Kano, but Hat Guy was my MVP.
Kano was acted terribly in the best way.
Yes.
He really leaned into it. You know, Mortal Kombat did what Aquaman should have done. That's sort of
that's my perfect comparison, and I tweeted it out, is that Mortal Kombat is what every dumb movie should try to be.
Yeah, because you can never buy into whatever story Mortal Kombat's going to give you.
Yeah.
So you might as well make it dumb and fun. And if Aquaman had done that, had done more of, what was the line he says when he gets into the submarine?
Permission to come aboard.
Right. If the whole movie was that.
I said, if you listen to our review of the show.
You said it from the jump. And
if
I don't
the whole
know
movie
if
was
I
the submarine scene,
until
give
Mortal
me that.
Kombat.
Yes.
Now that I've seen Mortal Kombat, I think I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
Because that's a very watchable movie. Even if you don't like it, it's watchable and it's fun.
Do you think that if you go to Australian acting school, there are two doors of you can either be an Academy Award-winning actor or be someone that acts so over the top and just be a complete clown? Because that seems to be the only two choices.
I'm kind of pissed you never said, crikey, I needed that. One of those really would have put it home. But Kano and Hat Guy had incredible one-liners.
If I ever write a movie, I'm going to have one Australian character in there that just quotes Crocodile Dundee. You call that a knife?
Just makes Steve Irwin's references all day, too.
That's it.
Just has an irrational hate for stingrays that he keeps bringing up throughout the movie.
News dump. Pokemon Snap today?
Yeah. So I lent my Nintendo Switch to my sister. Mm-hmm. She had ACL surgery a few months ago, so she was all cooped up. I got to go ahead and get that back because I think I want to play Pokemon Snap.
Are you upset that you didn't sell your Switch when it was at its peak value at the beginning of the pandemic?
No. No, because I think there's going to be a game like, you know, maybe a game every 2 years. Or okay. Like, glad I got that Switch.
News dip. This week in the DSG, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That's it.
Yeah. Yep. For everyone. For everyone.
Even the Crabapple Boys did it.
The Crabapple Boys, yeah. I believe it's pronounced. Yeah, I don't know. You know, CMM seems to like things more than everyone else. I don't know how they came out on top with this.
Wesley gave it an 82, so a B-, which isn't that much higher than mine. I gave it a C+.
Okay.
I think Fryer gave it an A++, I want to say.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, he was wearing that shirt. I already feel like I was too high on it, and I gave it a 30.
I have the sound here of Fryer giving his review. They had the Winter Soldier and a motorcycle? Can I give it beyond an 100?
That's my Fryer laugh. That's Fryer laughing. Wait,
here I am, drinking out of a fake cup of water.
Fryer, you work for DraftKings doing video stuff all day. Get a better background, asshole.
No, he
Get
has that one screen. Weird thing in the back with like
He's the... got the clock with the other clock on it that has like Portugal time or some shit. Yeah, great, meaningful. No one watching DraftKings gives a fuck about that. Get some fat heads in the background, you know?
Oh, nice. Play Get some fat audience. Heads. Or like do some colorings and then post those on the wall.
Go to some paint nights. Put some bad paintings up behind you.
Mac, what are we doing next week?
Next week, we're going to be reviewing the Prime show, Invincible.
So everyone go and watch
about
it.
A few minutes ago.
Yeah.
I believe it's 8 episodes, right? Today's the 8th episode.
I honestly don't know because they had 3 on either. The first week and it threw me off.
Yeah, super confusing. I believe it's 8 episodes. Each episode's like at least 40 minutes, I think, to like almost an hour.
Around I'm not really there, sure. Yeah.
I haven't done the nuts and bolts yet. It's a good show. Mm-hmm. I think to your point, you weren't as inspired as I was.
In the middle, I wasn't. I loved the first episode and that last episode.
The end of episode 1 sort of gives you enough to buy into whatever they do the rest of the way, at least for me. And I hope they really hammer that home in the finale here. So I'm excited to watch it. We'll be talking about it Sunday night. Live, if you want to come back here, same good place, same good channel. It's going to be hard to dislike, which I feel like is almost the opposite of Falcon and Winter Soldier, that it was like hard to like by the end.
I also feel like this show just can't disappoint me. Like if it's bad, I'll just be like, all right, whatever.
That's for sure part of it too, because we have absolutely nothing invested in it other than watching 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Whereas Marvel's constantly building towards something. So that is a good point. And that's sort of The Boys, like, right? Like, first season of The Boys, we had zero attachment to and we fucking loved it.
Yeah.
If you don't know anything about Invincible, it's very The Boys-like in that it goes full R at times. Mm-hmm. They really fucking give you things that other shows tease.
So that'll do it for this week in News Dump. Come and join us this Sunday night for Invincible. More News Dump next week. And at News Dump. Yeah.